Following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
We do serve a God of more, and He wants to give us more in this season. As many of you know, we are really pursuing the Lord to see Him move and to bring the more through us. We had a series last month on For Such a Time as This, and it really kind of culminated to just the realization and the declaration that this is a time when God's about to show up with more. That this is a time, the stage is being set, and His people are being prepared for Him to move in the midst of everything that's going on, for Him to move in bringing light into darkness in a powerful and transformational way. And that's really the heart. That's always kind of been the heart of who we are here at Living Waters Church. Before I get rolling, if you're new here at Living Waters, I'm Renee, and I'm the lead pastor here. And we also have Pastor Bob and Pastor Dave, who's here with us today as well. And really, the foundation and the heart of who we are is to see transformation and to see the body of Christ revived so that we can bring revival to the world around us, so that we can bring transformation. And when we talk about revival, the definition that we used last month when we talked about what God's doing in this time is a move of the Spirit of God marked by His presence and power that ushers in the King and His kingdom, awakening the church to a great passion for Jesus and a deeper commitment to His cause on the earth. I cry every time I read it. I don't know why. I do know why. Awakening the church, great passion, deeper commitment for His cause on the earth, where the lost are saved and culture is transformed. And that is what we're going after together as a body. That is what the body of Christ, I believe the Lord is calling the larger body of Christ to this expectation and to this desire to see the more of God for the sake of transformation in the spaces around us. And so I feel the Lord raising our faith level. When Rochelle's talking about, I'm asking God, He's doing this work of more in me. How many of you feel the Lord making room for more faith in this time? More faith for what He wants to do in and through us to impact the world around us. I that's stirring in me, and it's building in me. The more that we see who God is and what He wants to do in this time, the more I focus on that, on what light wants to do and not what darkness is doing, the more I feel the faith rising in me, the hope rising in me, the excitement rising in me, to the degree that I can open the newspaper. I mean, nobody really opens actual newspapers anymore, but I can open it. Well, my husband does. He does, actually. Yeah, he's that way. I can open the newspaper, and I can see another headline or another thing and go, oh, good. Here's another area that God wants to move. And I feel like that's something that God's stirring in us, just a recognition of what He wants to do. So we believe that He's coming with a spirit of revival. He's igniting something in us. And we believe that this is going to be a sovereign move, which means it's not something that any amazing amount of preaching is going to trump up. It's not something that's going to happen because we create some kind of a program. It's not something that's going to happen because I don't know, because some new organization gets formed. Or it's a sovereign move of God, and our role in that is to be ready for what He wants to do. That's what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart as it relates to what kind of where we're going with our preaching series, is that we would be ready to steward and to walk in the things that God wants to do sovereignly by His hand. Do you know how freeing it was to me when I realized I don't have to create the move of God? Don't laugh at me. I was a little concerned about that. I wasn't sure how I was going to make that happen, even in myself. I know that there's things, there's more that God wants to do in me. There's an awakening he wants to do in me. There's a softness he wants to bring to the hard places of my heart. And sometimes I can work so hard to try to make that happen in myself. And God goes, that's my job. I'm going to do that. You just be ready. You just yield to what I'm doing. Oh, that's now I get to just abide in him and trust him to bring that. Trust him to bring that softness in me. Trust him to make room for bigger faith in me. And we get to do that as a body as well. God is going to do something sovereign, and we have the privilege to walk it out as lights in this world, but we just have to, that's all we have to do. We just have to walk it out. We have to be ready in the best way that we can, which is really just to press into him. So that's what we're going after. I believe that there is, the Lord's been speaking to us about being light. We talked about a couple weeks ago, several weeks ago, Pastor Bob talked about being harmless and blameless in a crooked and perverse generation among whom you are lights to the world. So we've been talking a lot about light and about what God wants to, how he wants to bring us as light to the world. And kind of the areas that I felt like the Lord landed on that he wants to give us more in, he wants to increase our capacity for, is the ways that light comes to the world is through love, through truth, and through power. And so that's kind of what we're going to focus on over these next several weeks. We're going to focus on those different aspects. Today I'm going to talk quite a bit about love, because we are, in our sermon series this month, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about body building. And because I feel like that's part of getting ready. How many of you know if you're going to run a race or you're going to lift something that's bigger than you've lifted before, there's a building up that you do of your body? And I feel like the Lord's doing that in this season. He's strengthening some things in the body of Christ so that we can steward and carry the things that God wants to pour out through his church. So we're going to be talking about bodybuilding this month, and what I hope to answer over the next couple of weeks is, why does it matter? Why does it matter that we're fitted together as a body? Why does it matter that there's that strength? Why does the prophetic words that came forth today about the body being joined together, why does that matter? We'll talk about that. I want to also examine, what does it look like? What does it look like for the body to be healthy? What does it look like when there's oneness and there's connection? Because I think we kind of have an idea of what we think that looks like, but it might be different than we think. And so we want to talk a little bit about what does it look like. And then the other piece that I want to talk about in the coming weeks is, how are we here at Living Waters going to do it? How are we going to respond as the Lord's calling us into deeper places of connecting as the body of Christ? We're gonna talk about why it matters. We're gonna kind of go, well, what does that look like? What's the vision of that? And then here, how are we gonna do that? How are we? There's different ways that we can do that. Different ways that we can connect and strengthen one another, build one another in love as the body. So that's kind of where we're headed. I'm hoping to really talk about why it matters today, and this isn't the first time that I've opened a series or opened a sermon with, let me tell you why what I'm going to talk about matters. And I'm not sure why I feel like I have to do that, but I do. I do feel like oftentimes it helps me to lay this foundation for, this is why it matters that we spend time even thinking about this. Another reason I think in this particular series, I want to put vision out there for why are we going to go after this, and why is the Lord calling us as the larger body of Christ to this? But there's also this piece that I go, you know, this living life on life as the body is not super easy. It is rarely convenient. It is often messy. It doesn't come supernaturally. No, it does come supernaturally. It doesn't come very natural to some of us, but it does come supernaturally. But it's not easy. And so sometimes I need this foundation of why is it worth it to go after this hard thing? Why is it worth it? Why does it matter that we pursue this? And because it's not necessarily always easy, although I believe that when the Lord calls us to a deeper level of something, He gives us a grace to step into it. I believe that we're going to have that. But I think it's important for us to realize what a big deal this is to God, so that we're willing to pay the price for it, so that we're willing to press into it and pursue it, whatever that looks like for each of us individually, what it looks like to be joined to the body and to really contend for that oneness together and that life flowing in the body. So we're going to talk a little bit about that first, that why does it matter? The other thing that you might already know about me is that I think anytime anybody is teaching anything, they're basically answering a question. So for me, I'm a learner, and so I'm constantly asking a question. And I want to encourage you in this time to ask a lot of questions. Ask, you know, one of the main ways that I study the Word or find things in the Word that are valuable to me and that plant things in me is I ask my Bible a question. Why does it matter that we know how to be the body together? And then the Lord begins to reveal Himself in the answer. He begins to tell me. My goal right now is to ask the Word of God and the Spirit of God more questions than I ask Google. Have you ever thought about how often you just go, okay, just Google it? I want to ask my Bible and I want to ask my God those questions. I find myself sometimes Googling things that I laugh at. Like, really? You're asking Google that? How about if you ask God? How about if you see what the Word says? Anyway, this is not an anti-Google moment. It's a, let's ask God those questions. The other reason that I think it's important, or we'll kind of start out that way. One of the reasons it matters is because we've kind of talked this morning, even with the prophetic words, that I think it's evident that the enemy wants to bring division in the body of Christ right now. He wants to bring division everywhere. That's just his thing. He just likes to bring division. And there is this concerted effort that has been to bring division and to kind of separate and polarize. And there is something in the midst of this that the Lord is going to have us walk out of what oneness looks like. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week when we're talking about what does it look like. But we need to know that in so many different ways, not just in political things and in the racial things and in all the different stuff going on, it has, from the beginning of time, been the goal of the enemy to bring separation, to bring bring pride that causes us not to feel like we need to be connected to one another, to bring bitterness, to bring isolation, to bring offense, anything to separate us from one another. That's why marriage is a target for the enemy, because it represents a oneness that is powerful And he wants to bring separation and division to that. And it's true in the body of Christ as well. We cannot allow ourselves to become isolated. We cannot even think that the enemy is only working out there in culture. And we need to be aware of his devices as it relates to how we relate to one another. That we would contend for being connected as the body. Right now, I think, and I couldn't develop a whole thing around it, but I think there's sort of a dislocation happening in the body in places. There's this kind of dislocated piece. I don't know that we can run a good race dislocated. It's really actually sort of gives me the heebie-jeebies trying to even think about functioning that way. But this is one of the reasons it's important, is because it's so valuable. And one of the reasons it's valuable is because of what we've been talking about as it relates to being light in the darkness. The body of Christ has a privilege and a calling to be light in the darkness through the way that we love, through the way that we love one another. We know that we are called to love. And we'll examine this more, but we know that we're called to love God. Multiple places, it talks about loving God with all of us, with all our heart, soul, strength, mind, all of that. We know that we're called to love one another. The Bible talks about that several times. We're going to talk a lot about that today. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're called to love our enemies. So there's this not even just called, but commanded in the Word to love one another, to love our neighbor, to love our enemies. Jesus talked about it, the apostles talked about it, that it's not a suggestion, it's a command. It's not, well, that's not really what we're doing right now, that's not what we're focusing on. No, that's a command of our function as believers, is that we would love one another, our neighbor, and our enemy. And so as we focus today on what it looks like to love one another, we need to recognize that this is a command. And when we walk in any command, it carries with it a blessing. It's what Luke talked about this morning, the temple. The Word talks about that we are a temple of living stones, and these stones set in next to one another. Why? So that the presence of the Lord can come in and dwell in that place. That's why love is a command, because it allows the presence of the Lord to come and dwell when we step into that. Many of us know 1 Corinthians 13:1, when it talks about we can do all these things. We can prophesy, we can do this, we can do that. But if we don't have love, it's a clanging gong and some kind of a cymbal. I can't remember the adjective on that one. But I would equate it to, if we do all these things, if the church, if the body of Christ can do all those things, but love is not flowing freely among us, it's just white noise. There is something in the message of the church in culture that has kind of become white noise. Like it's there, but nobody really hears it. That's not okay with me. And I think part of the reason is because we need a fresh baptism of love. It's not all of it, but it's part of it, a big part of it. The Bible tells us, yeah, without love, it's just white noise. And so we need to get this right for the sake of the message of the gospel actually being heard. We're gonna talk about truth. The gospel is the truth. We're gonna talk about power. Neither of those things can function without love functioning. Neither of those things can have impact without love functioning. And so as the body, It's like time to go to another level of what that looks like. It's time to press into the more. We talk about, we want more of your power, God. We want more of your presence. Do you know what probably will happen if more of his power and presence comes? We'll love more. It's just going to be part of it. I don't know that I'm saying until we love, we're not going to see his power. I don't think that. But I do think if we really want to function in it the way that God wants us to, we need to be ready for him to enlarge us in the area of love. That he wants to come in with more of that. There's a sovereign work of God that wants to increase us in that. Let's look at John chapter 13. Verse 34. You know I love this verse, and I use it all the time. But it's because it's good and it's true. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So we see what Jesus is saying here. This is a new commandment. Why is it a new commandment? Not because it was the first time God said, have love. It's because it's the first time he increased the standard. It was no longer, before the commandment was, love your neighbor as yourself. Now he's increased the standard. That's why it's a new commandment. He says, love one another as I have loved you. And I'm not sure that they had caught on yet to about what was going to happen. Jesus knew. This is some of the last moments he's sharing with them before he goes to the cross. And he's saying, here's my command, love one another as I have loved you. And here, I'm sure they're thinking, yeah, I can walk with someone and eat with someone and hang out with someone. And because that's what they had experienced of him so far. But the reality is, when he's saying, love one another as I have loved you, what he's calling us to is a sacrificial love. Because he was about to die on their behalf a really horrible death. And he said, the way that I have loved, we see him say it in a few chapters over when he's talking about love and he's explaining the kind of love that is going to represent the oneness of God and Jesus and the oneness with the Father, that kind of love. He says, basically, I'll tell you what it looks like. No greater love is there but one who lays down his life for a friend. And so this is the kind of love that he's calling us to for one another. This is the kind of love that is impossible apart from him. Apart from abiding and knowing, we sang this morning about his reckless love. If I'm not connected to that, if I'm not connected to the extravagance of his love, I can't possibly love you in that way. I can't even love my husband in that way. And I really, really like him. But this is what God's calling us to. We should know this. All of the Christian life is impossible. I think there's times when we think that the part of the Christian life that's impossible is signs, wonders, and miracles. All of the Christian life is impossible. All that God has called us to is completely impossible apart from the working of his Holy Spirit. Loving the way that he's called us to love, staying in truth the way he's called us to stay in truth, just as impossible as operating in the power of God. And I think sometimes we kind of take for granted, like, yeah, the love thing. We just, no, it's impossible to love the way that he's asking us to. So we are depending on him to bring that by his Holy Spirit. As we press into this together as a body, what does it look like to love in this extravagant way. I think it's interesting that he has attached our connection to one another to a demonstration and a declaration to the world that God really did send his son, Jesus. I think our message will have more impact when we recognize that our ability to be connected and to love one another is what demonstrates that that message is true. Instead, sometimes we have this message of the gospel that's going forward, and what is being seen doesn't line up with that. That doesn't mean that what is being seen is actually what's true. It just means then we got to be really, really good at loving visibly. Not a put on, not a show, but that our love is so flowing that it's impossible to miss. You know, there's PDA, public displays of affection. When people's tolerance for that is different. When we first got married, it would bother me when my husband would kiss me in public or, you know, whatever. And I would always feel like, oh, it's so showy. You're just being so showy. And it was hard for me because it felt very visible. It felt like this affection that we had for one another was visible. I'm not sure what the drawback of that was to me, but it bothered me. But one thing that was interesting is, I don't know, probably 10 years into our marriage with this little tension around PDA, Brian, you know, I was saying the same thing I've always said. Well, I just feel like you're like putting on this show in front of people and blah, blah, blah. And he said, okay, do I kiss you at home the same way or at all? Is it the only place I kiss you when we're in front of people? And I said, well, no, of course not. No. And he said, okay, then I just don't want a boundary on where I'm showing that affection to you. By the way, we do have a... Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The boundary line just got moved. The point is, if we're loving one another at home as the body, it will show outside and it will be a testimony that Jesus is who he said he was, that he is the Son of God, that he did come to reconcile. And so my heart is, I want us to love really well at home. As it relates to bodybuilding, that we know how to do that, that we know how to love well, because it's going to become visible. That it talks about that people are going to see the way that we love in the Bible, that people are going to see the way that we love one another. And they're going to want in to that. They're going to see that and go, wow, I wish I had that. Because this was God's heart for us, that we would experience his love through one another. There are people that are completely bankrupt of that kind of unconditional love in their lives. And here, it's like we've got it flowing all over the place. Can the Lord enlarge us in that so that we can bring more people into that? Can we get good at it in the house so that that affection is evident outside the house? It's important. It matters. I don't think Jesus would have talked so much about it to his disciples as he's getting ready to go to the cross. I think it's so important that we understand it. That we, again, we're going to talk more about what it actually looks like. But I want us to make room for God to do more in this area. There's something in me that feels like, well, you know, my personality is to be more independent. That's good. What is God's personality? I mean, it is going to look different for each of us. I'm not saying we all have to kiss up on the stage. I'm not saying, you know, it's going to look different for each of us. But have we said to God, I want less, as Rochelle was saying. I'm not sure that I can't take more connection in my life. Or, no, now it's time to say, okay, I want more in this area. So that light can shine through us as a body. The kind of love that he's talking about has already been defined for us. I think sometimes we can even acknowledge, I know that we're meant to love. I know that, you know, the church is meant to be this place where love flows. But I think sometimes we can say, but I'm defining it as this. I define that love as this. This is what I define it as. But the truth is, the Bible already defined it for us. So not only has he told us who we are meant to love, who were commanded to love, not suggested, who were commanded to love one another, neighbor, enemy, but he also has said, and oh, by the way, here's what it looks like. So we already get, it's like sacrificial. There's an aspect of it that means sometimes I will have to give something that is important to me, like mostly time. We've talked about that before. Time is probably the most valuable thing. But that there's a place where we need to make space for that. But it also tells us other things. Again, relatively well-known verse. Lord, help it mean more to us on the day-to-day. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, it describes love as patient, kind, without envy. Love doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It does not keep records of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. We don't get to define love apart from this. I don't get to say, oh yeah, but in this, love looks like dishonor. No, it doesn't. Not one time does dishonor produce love or look like love. And so, We need the Lord to help us walk in the fullness of that. There are times when, because it's helped me with parenting, I'll say, Lord, what does love look like right now in this situation with my kids or whatever else? Because I know what I want to do. Pretty sure that's not love. So what does it look like? And the Lord will kind of guide me. Sometimes it looks like hard line boundary. Sometimes it looks like mercy and grace in a situation. But it always, always, always looks like this definition of what we just talked about. God's not going to tell me love looks any different than what he's already defined love to look like in his word. So if I use sarcasm in my parenting, is that a sacred cow, sarcasm? No? Okay. If I use sarcasm in my parenting, thanks, Leslie. Leslie says, yeah, kill it. That was love, I think. Then I know it's not love, because that's rife with dishonor and pride and all those things. So, We want to accept God's definition of love. And what's amazing is that kind of love, this agape love, which I had a whole thing on that we're not going into, but the kind of love that God's asking us to have, which is, as we established, impossible for us to do apart from him, that kind of love is what's going to stand out in the midst of a world where love has grown cold. The Bible talks about the days when love has grown cold. I think we're kind of in those days. And that it's the those who truly believe that persevere in love that are the lights. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4, Paul is talking to Timothy about a time that he's going to find himself in where men are lovers of self and they're functioning without love. But you come in and you do the opposite of that, was really the call to us, that you come in and you do the opposite of that, and now you put on display the nature of Christ in the midst of the darkness. You put on display the light of love in the midst of that darkness. We cannot make too much of love. Some of you think I'm doing it right now, but you can't. It's God is love. And what, as it relates to us as a body, you know, I was looking at, also in my notes, all the different ways that God has defined us, this gathering of believers, a temple we heard about today, the body of Christ, a family, we're defined as a family. We were saved, we weren't saved into an organization, we were saved into a family. And we're called to represent that family, represent the nature of God, the character, the way that he asks, because there is an entire world of people who are going, what is God like? Because they kind of think he's angry, or they kind of think he's distant, or they kind of think that he's mad, or impatient. And we have the privilege of walking as a family in a way that says, no, this is what he's like. This is how he loves. He is patient. He is kind. He does not envy. He doesn't keep a record of wrongs. He doesn't dishonor. He's not self-seeking. He protects. He trusts. He hopes. This is what we get to walk out as a body so that people can see the nature and character of God through us. Yes. So, here's what I want to end with. I think we touched on it earlier. The key to loving in this way, whether it's loving one another, loving our neighbor, loving our enemy, is to abide. Jesus said all around these places where he's saying, love like this, love like I loved you, so the world may know. Then he talks about abiding in me. Abide in my love. So can you feel the weight come off of recognizing I don't have to come up with that kind of love myself? That kind of love happens because I'm abiding in him, and he's just pouring that through me. He's pouring out patience. He's pouring out kindness. He's flowing through me in that. We want to come into that a place of abiding. The other piece is to recognize, even as it relates to oneness in the body, it is not something that we need to achieve through becoming like, how much can I look like you? It's not like we all have to call each other and make sure we're wearing the same thing on the same day. That's not what oneness is. That oneness as the body, we already have that. The Bible says that if we are in Christ, we are already of one spirit. So here's what I love. This sense of fracture in the larger body of Christ, these places of division, it's not a thing. We are one. It's just we get to walk that out in a different way. We already have access to that oneness. Our oneness is more about each of us becoming more and more like Jesus. That's where we find oneness. We find oneness as we become more and more like Jesus. So I don't have to worry about, am I being like so-and-so? Am I being like so-and-so? Oh, they can't do that, then they're not one with me. No, our oneness comes out of being like Jesus. So that's what our pursuit's going to be. How do we, that's the place of oneness. Okay, I'm done rolling. So, the way that we love one another is the demonstration of the restorative power of God, and it reveals to us that what is broken because of sin can be healed in the world. For those who have a separation between themselves and God because of sin in their life, when they see the restoration of oneness among people, it's a testimony to them that what has been broken can be healed in Christ. If you are walking and you're feeling separate, because that's what sin does, apart from God, we are separate from God and we feel separate from others. We feel separate from one another. Sin came to destroy oneness. That's what it came to do. If you are feeling that either at home, watching, or here, that you want that restoration between you and God, that you want to come into that place of being restored to Him, and you want to come into a place of being one with others, of being in restored relationship with others, you can have that. That's what Jesus offers to us. That's the good news of the gospel. I would encourage you, we'll have prayer teams up as we close. If you want to commit your life to that, to being in Christ, so that you can be connected to that oneness, would you come to them? They can lead you through that. For us that are in Christ, but we feel this division and separateness, I just want to pray for us for a fresh abiding in Christ so that we can come into what it looks like to be loving the way that He's called us to into oneness. So as we close, Lord, we thank You that You've already made a way for us to love the way that You've asked us to. We thank You that You have made the way to oneness through Jesus, that we can be restored in our oneness with You, and we can be restored in our oneness with one another, that the door is still Jesus. Imagine that. So we press into that. We ask that You would help us to abide in Your love, to remain in Your love, not to visit Your love on a Sunday morning, but God, that as we go from here, that we are continually drawing from Your perfect love, that it's shepherding us, that it's flowing through us, that it's the light that's in our lives, that it's what connects us to one another. We just ask God, we give You permission for more in this area of loving one another, loving our neighbors, and loving our enemies. We give You permission to bring us into more as it relates to what true oneness looks like with Christ as the head. We thank You that it's a sovereign work of Your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.